Pasuk says, "V'lo yarbe lo nashim, v'lo yase levavoy, v'chesav zov lo yarbe lemoed." The pasuk is telling us that a king shouldn't have too many wives, that they shouldn't turn his heart, and also not to have too much money. The Medrash comments on this pasuk. Shlomer reasoned that this essa doesn't apply to him. He said, "My heart won't be led astray. I'm the wisest of all men, so I can have many wives." And when Shlomer said this, the Yud of Lo Yarbe came pleading for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "Master of the world, didn't you say that not even one letter of the Torah can be nullified? And Shlomer has invalidated me." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Shlomer and 1,000 like him will be nullified, while not even one point of the letter Yud will be nullified." Now the question is, why did only the Yud complain? The whole pasuk should have complained. Certainly the whole word should have complained. And Rav Schwab explains that Shlomer mistakenly thought that being so wise and having such a love for the Ribbono Shlom, as we see in the whole of Shir Shirim, a love song for the Ribbono Shlom, so that meant he was in no danger of being led astray. So he didn't have to worry about his wives leading him astray at all. There's no worry for him. Nothing could break those bonds of love he had with the Ribbono Shlom. He's different to other kings. So when Shlomer read the pasuk, he emphasized the good. Lo yarbe lo noshim. He shouldn't. He means others, not him. It doesn't apply to him. Only the Yud was offended because he read it as he, as to others. So Rav Schwab would tell of the time when he arrived in the United States in 1936. On the day he arrived, he got in the trolley to go to New York City. In Europe, buses and trains, you would get on the bus, a conductor would come round to collect the fares. He didn't know this. He didn't know in America it wasn't like that, and you have to pay the driver. So he got on board the bus, walked right past the driver, sat down in his seat and waited. The driver looked in the mirror. He looked at Rav Schwab and he said, "Hey, mister, you forgot to pay." The Rav didn't know he meant him, didn't answer. He said again, "Sir, you forgot to put your nickel in the box." Still the Rav didn't get it. All the passengers turned round to stare at Rav Schwab. Then the driver turned round and pointed at him and said, "Hey, mister, I mean you." In great embarrassment, the Rav got up, paid, and went to sit down. He felt tremendous shame and got off the bus at the next stop. He was so shaken. But, like great people, they take lessons from life. He took a very powerful lesson. Often we learn something, be it halacha, chazal, divrei chizuk. We have to be very careful. We shouldn't think it's referring to someone else. We should remember the words of that bus driver. The Ribbono Shel Olam is pointing to us and saying, "Hey, mister, I mean you." And this was the mistake that Shlomo HaMelech made. It meant everybody else besides him. He shouldn't have many wives. I find this at times when I give musa to my talmidim. And I don't want to say which one in particular I mean, so I'll say it to the whole shir. And I find the person I intended for, he ducks, so he should have hit the person behind him. I once heard from Rav Ephraim Waxman. He was giving a shir on the Mishnah in Ovis, which says, "Tikvas enoish rimo," which simply means, in the end, a man is going to be eaten by worms, he's going to turn into worms. And the Chasam Sofer asks the question, why does he use the lashon of tikvas enoish? The hope of man is worms? Why tikvas? So he explains that after a person reaches 120, he'll come before the Kisei HaKovod, and they're going to say to the person, "Why didn't you write a sefer? Why didn't you start an organization? Why didn't you finish Bavlin Yerushalmi?" And what do people feel they'll answer? "Me? Little me? I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody." And they think that will be a way to answer the question they demands on them. But then the Beis Din Shlomo look at the person and say, "Is that the way you lived your life? Did you act as if you were a nobody? Or do you act like you own everything? Did you always knock everybody else? Think you own the place?" They'll show you that you can't claim to be a nobody, to be of a vefer. But if you act now with humility, you'll have a good defense. And that's what this mission is teaching us, says the Chasam Sofer. Tikvas Enosh, the hope of man, his hope for his defense before the Kisa Kovid is Rima. Not you'll be a worm, to act now like a worm, to act now like a nobody, and that way you'll have an excuse for what you didn't accomplish in life. When Ephraim Waxman finished saying this, a man came over to him and asked him to show him inside the Chasam Sofer. And Waxman said he felt very good about it, because this was a man who seems like finally got the message. He was somebody who always stood up for his perceived rights. He was constantly fighting with everybody. And now finally, he got the message. Until the man continues and said, I need to see that Chasam Sofer. There's a few people who I need to show it to. They need to see this Chasam Sofer. Let's always remember the words that Rav Schwab was told. Hey, mister, I mean you.